In the gospel, the 11 apostles had a very personal relationship with Jesus, right? They lived with him day and night for 3 years. They were obedient to his commands. Even after the resurrection, you know, he commanded them to go to Galilee. They went to the mountaintop, and on that mountaintop, they even worship him. Then the gospel says something truly scandalous. But they doubted. Personal relationship with him, obedient to him, worshiping him, and doubting him? How could that be, right? They were doing all the right things, weren't they? Yes. But they had not yet received the gift of the Holy Spirit. No matter how perfectly you and I live our lives, without the Holy Spirit, it'll never be enough. The victory of Christ, right? It's only for Christ until we receive the Holy Spirit. And then the life of Christ begins to be our life. We receive that gift in baptism, and most of us have been strengthened in that gift with confirmation. And we need to beg the Father to stir up the gift of the Spirit in us over and over again, because nothing else will do. Nothing else is enough. Also in the gospel, Jesus says we're to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. This is a direct revelation regarding the very persons of God. The reason why those three names are so important is because if God is eternal, and he has always been Father, then he has always had a Son. The fact of God as Father implies a Son, not Father of nothing, but it implies a Son who is co-eternal with the Father. God, if God has always been Father, then there has always been the Son. And if only, and only if the Holy Spirit is equally divine, could he communicate the divine salvation of Christ to each one of us, overcoming our doubts, right? And enabling us to worship with faith and not with doubts. So on the one hand, there's kind of some comfort there from that example of the apostles, that they had all these things going for them and they still struggled with doubts. But whether we struggle with doubts or not, when and if we do, it's a great time to call upon the Holy Spirit, to ask the Father to stir that up again within us. It's always the Holy Spirit that makes the Mass, not just the action of Christ, but our action too. So today in our catechesis on the Mass, we come to the liturgy of the Eucharist. And I want to begin by sharing the fourfold structure of this part of the Mass and how with the Holy Spirit, it can also become the fourfold structure in our lives, right? What is the action of God is called to become the action of us as well. Christ takes your offerings, blesses them, breaks them, and gives them back. That fourfold structure, he did it in the gospel when he multiplied the loaves and the fishes. He did it at the Last Supper. In every one of those accounts, Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it. The fourfold structure of every liturgy of the Eucharist is take, bless, break, and give. Jesus took bread. This is our offertory rite. You bring up the gifts of bread and wine. You bring up your gifts of treasure when we go back to having the collection, or when you drop them off in the baskets there. That's your tithing for the church, right? You bring up your gifts of prayer and you surrender them to me. And just like Jesus, I take them. Accept them receive them from you and bring them to the altar. You know, the Lord can only take what we are willing to give. And then Jesus blessed the bread. This is the Eucharistic prayer. After I've taken your gifts, I lay them on the altar, and there at the altar offer the Eucharistic prayer, that great blessing prayer that unites our gifts to Christ. It's the high point of the Mass. It's the time of uniting, of union. I can only unite to Christ what you're willing to give. And then Jesus broke the bread. This is the fraction rite, just before Holy Communion. Oftentimes it gets lost. We're singing the Lamb of God, right? At that very same time, but the priest tries to hold it up for us to see that the breaking of the bread there. Again, Christ can only break what we are willing to give. Now, why in the world does he want to break what we give? Does it hurt? If we give him what we love, will we lose what we love? To give him what you bring here does involve trust, right? Do we trust him? He promises us that when he breaks our gifts, it's not just a loss of them. He transforms them into something greater when he breaks them. When Christ's body was broken on the cross, he became a life-giving spirit in the resurrection. Will you trust him with what you have to give? Will you let him break your heart? If it's your heart that you need to give, break your pride, pride that we need to give up. Break your dreams. He has a better heart for you and better dreams for you. Lastly, Jesus gave the bread. This is the rite of Holy Communion, right? After he's taken our gifts, blessed them, and broken them, then he returns them, gives them back to us. But not just, oh, here's the broken pieces, transformed, right? That bread has become his body. Sanctified, purified, made holy. He takes only in order to give. He blesses and breaks so that the gift we receive back is greater than the gift we initially gave. And the gift that he gives back is not only to be found in the Holy Communion. Scandalous as that may sound, what do you mean there's more than Holy Communion, right? There's something greater than Christ? There's nothing greater than Christ. But we do receive more than Christ. What we receive in Holy Communion is also that fraternal communion that is all of us here as the body of Christ. Our church family, we receive communion with each one of us as well. It's also experienced in the transformed vision that we take back to the world after we leave here, in the transformed heart that we take back to the world, and the blessings out there that we begin to see and experience that we never noticed before because we have a transformed sight. If we've given him our vision, if we've given him our heart, we'll begin to see and love out there in a whole different way as well. But it all starts with what we give him today. Let it go here. And he'll take it with him in his ascension to the Father. He'll always accept our gifts and bless our gifts, break our gifts, and give our gifts back, transformed. Take, bless, break, give. It's what he did at the Last Supper. It's what he did at every account of the multiplication of the loaves. It's what we continue to do today. How much do we trust him? How much will we give him? So Your homework for the week, the Holy Spirit has made you Christ in the world today. So pay attention this week to what you take or receive from others. Pay particular attention to how you bless what they give you, how you multiply it, sanctify it, honor it, and be sure you give it back too. Take, bless, break, and give. It's not just what Jesus does at Mass. It's what Jesus does in you and me.